What? Yeah, I'm Shana. Good morning, everyone. Shavuot Tov. Is that a Chumash?
It is a Chumash.
May I?
Of course.
Thank you very, very much. Rashi, good. Exactly what I needed. Right here. Okay. Gentlemen, today's lecture is going to be about the Jewish people being very scared of the word Kedusha, of anything holy, and staying away from it. That's what I'm going to speak about, and I'd like to be very provocative. In order to be provocative, I'd like to quote something that we all went through. It's sort of a side note in Parshat Ki Tisa. Therefore, I'm at the Divrei Torah you heard over Shabbos didn't necessarily touch this point, because anyone that talks about Parshat Ki Tisa usually will concentrate on what?
Connection
to Purim. Chet HaEgel. Before Chet HaEgel, the Chet HaEgel, the aftermath of Chet HaEgel, Divrei Torah from here till next year, you can just make up for a whole year on that episode. So allow me not to talk about that episode. I am sure you are heavily saturated in it. Let's go to what probably you didn't speak about. At the end of the Parsha, there's a small little episode in which Moshe comes down from the mountain, and the Jewish people see something changed. His face was glowing. He karan or panas. Face was glowing. Something changed in Moshe Rabbeinu. According to the Medrash, when God said, I'm going to put my hand on you, when Moshe said, I want to see you, when God said, avasikoti kapi, alecha adovri, I'm going to put my hand on you, that's how he got a glow. One of the three different suggestions of the Medrash. In any case, Moshe comes down, his face, how do the Jewish people react? Say again? They are afraid. Vayara Aaron, v'chol b'nei Yisrael t'moshe v'nei karan or panav, Aaron and all the Jewish people saw that his face is glowing, v'yira'u migeshet eilav, and they were very scared to get near to him. So, I'd say they're wonderful, good Jews. Good Jews see something holy, they stay away. Because it's so holy. What, did you just go up to the Sefer Torah and say, how you doing? What, would you come into shul and say, hey mate? There's a certain level of, and therefore they see Moshe's all holy. They don't know what to do. This is not the Moshe we remember. The Moshe we remember didn't have this glow. Now we got a new Moshe. We got to know how to deal with this new Moshe. Are we allowed to touch him or aren't we allowed to touch him? Are we allowed to come near him or aren't we allowed to come near him? So if I would read this pasuk, I'd say Jewish people are acting like good Jews should. They see something holy, they see something that requires solemnity, they wait for instructions. Moshe then gives them instructions, they come, he puts that cover on, we all know the end of the story. All this was great until I saw Rashi. Rashi comes along, you all know Rashi, Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, functioned in France, in Germany, 10th century, you remember that name? 11th century, pardon me. Alex, Rashi ruined my life. What did Rashi say? Vayirumi geshet elav, and they were very scared to go near Moshe. Bo re'eh, come and see. Kama gadol kocha shel aveira. How great is the aveira. You sitting, Bruce? Aveira. Aveira. She'at shelo pashtu yidehem ba'aveira, ma omer? Until they engaged in this aveira of Chet HaEgel, what did they say? What was said? Umarek vod Hashem ke'esh ocheret berosh ahar le'inei b'nei Yisrael. We all remember the end of Parshat Mishpatim, when it gives us that added episode from Har Sinai, that the image of God was like a fire eating the top of the mountain. And therefore they were very scared. And we all know they were very scared, correct? Pasuk says they were scared. They said, Moshe, you go up instead of us. We're petrified. And how does Moshe answer them? Do you remember? What was Moshe's response when they said, you go up, we're petrified, we're scared, we're pishing in our pants. What do they say? God says, don't worry. Moshe says, don't worry. What? Yes, say. He should always have this level of fear. Why? Why is fear good? You got it? Ba'avur tihiyeh yiradet tichtol. And you should always have the awe and the fear of God on you, so you shouldn't sin. So says Rashi, we just saw God with the big fire on top of the mountain. The shofar blowing, the Steven Spielberg wonderful episode. That should have given the fear of God into them, they shouldn't sin. What did they do? We're not talking about years later. We're talking about weeks later. Moshe's not coming down from the mountain. They sin, says Rashi. Listen carefully. The lo yireim, the lo mizdazim. They see God on top of the mountain. A few weeks go by. It fades off. They're no longer in awe. They're no longer in shock. U'mishya'asu et ha'egel. And once they do the egel, atmi karnei odo shel Moshe, hayu marti'im u'mizdazim. Even from the little glow of Moshe, they're scared stiff. When God's on top of the mountain, that didn't scare him off enough. Not to do. Moshe comes down from the mountain and ultimately has a little bit of a glow on his face. They're scared stiff. They don't come near him. What is Rashi trying to tell us here? What's the story over here? He's saying, the pasuk seems so beautiful. They were scared to come next to Moshe. He looked glowed. They said, wow. And then Moshe says, no, it's okay. Come here. And they come. That's the way a Jew should approach sanctity. No? But yet, Rashi says they did a terrible thing. It's awful. It's terrible. It's all because of their Aveira. They're afraid to come near Moshe. Yes, Bruce.
One sort of existing thing between God and something supernatural that relates to Moshe is affecting the human that they know. And he's up close to them. There may be a different level of why they would be doing this case than the other ones said. You know, kind of like Eliyahu.
You're trying to explain why were they scared of this and not that. The truth of the matter is they were scared of both. But just the first one faded off, and the second one here, which is so much smaller than the first one, namely God on top of the mountain, the Har Sinai, was far greater than Moshe's glowing face, and yet they're scared. That's an explanation you're trying to give to understand the psyche of the Jewish people. What I want to ask is a different question. You're being negative. What is he trying to teach us with his negative approach to this pasuk? He should have been positive. Why did Rashi even have to say anything? I mean, the pasuk reads beautifully. Rashi's sitting there in the Beis Medrash in Worms, and he's learning this pasuk. There's Talmidim are around him. And he reads a pasuk. It reads beautifully. What does Rashi have to bring in this?
I read it that the sin created in them a greater fear. In other words, that, you know, you see whatever. When you've done something and you know you've done something wrong, then, you know, your father walks into the room. I always think he's walking into the room and suddenly hears. You know, he didn't raise a hand. He didn't. No.
It's like a guy speeding and he sees a police car, he right away assumes it's after him.
Right.
Could very well be. Once they sinned, they're always feeling guilty. I would accept what you said, and that's what the human psyche is like. When you're speeding and a police car happens to be there, you think he's after you because you're doing something wrong by hitting the brakes. However, in this particular case, the way the psukim read, they already were forgiven. Can't get any more clear than that, right, Bruce? God said, I have forgiven. And the Yud Gimel Midot tell us that God forgave the Jewish people for Chet HaEgel, and he did. In other words, unlike Chet Meraglim, where there was a punishment, here, forgiven. Done. So I don't know why at this point, when Moshe comes down after 40 days, and he brings the second Luchos, which is the symbol that God forgave the Jewish people, why would they still have the sight that I'm doing something wrong? The wrong is over. They're finished. You're saying that psychologically they're still feeling wrong. Could be.
Maybe they were still sinning again. That internally, he had gone up.
But again, you're all trying, I think you're all doing very well to be advocates for the Jewish people as to why is it that they're scared of this. And I think everything you're saying is correct. What I'd like to ask is a different question this morning, and that is, why is Rashi seeing this in the negative and not the positive? Why doesn't Rashi just simply say, go near Moshe, he looked very holy. When you see a holy person, you should be in awe, in trepidation, and you don't just go and say, hey mate, how are you?
It should be positive.
Should be wonderful.
I think Rashi's noticing that there.
I want to ask you a verse, one second, Kevin. If indeed someone came into shul, your son, 3 years old, comes into shul, sees the Olam Kodesh, and freezes. Wouldn't you, Shlef Nachas, look at this? Only 3 years old, he's scared of an Torah. That's beautiful.
Not if he saw 2 weeks ago and he was all dancing the Torah.
No, he saw for the first time the Torah. He heard about Torah. No, it's the first time they're seeing Moshe with the Karneho, with the...
But they just had, they saw the revelation at Sinai.
That's right.
Your son came to the Torah, was dancing
right.
The Torah.
Right.
And then he did something wrong on Monday. And then on Friday, he came back to shul, and he couldn't go near the Sefer Torah.
Because he feels that he's in a sin.
So I think Rashi's saying that they came
as
down.
As what's your name again? Elias suggested.
They grasped him that they came down a level. They were all on Moshe's level.
Right.
And this is their realization.
They did come down a level. Absolutely.
Down. It's not that Moshe.
Absolutely. But again, my question is, why is Rashi? They came down a level. Psychologically, I think all your explanations are correct. Why they reacted as they did. But Rashi says, Kochash of Aveira, look how great the power of an Aveira is, and now they're scared of Moshe. Meaning they shouldn't be scared of Moshe. The way Rashi read the pasuk was that, not that, oh, they were scared of Moshe, great thing. Moshe says, it's okay, you don't have to be scared, you can come close, and he did, and he put that veil on, and everything's okay. Rashi read the pasuk like this. They were scared of Moshe. They shouldn't be scared of Moshe. They should approach Moshe. Because they didn't, Moshe was forced to put that veil on. Had they not been scared, no veil, open relationship, terrific.
So
that's the way Rashi reads the Pesukim. Right. Very different than the way I think any of us read the Pesukim.
The veil is a separation from God.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I'd like to suggest something based on this Rashi, because there was no reason for Rashi to be negative. It could have been positive, but Rashi was teaching us something. And I'd like to introduce it with the following beautiful notation that you have on your wine bottles. We just came through Purim wine. If you looked on a kosher wine bottle nowadays, it doesn't just say kosher. It doesn't only just say kosher and mevushal, just in case a goy touches it. What does it usually give you?
Kosher.
In honor of Pesach, they give kosher with Pesach. But then in honor of Purim, what does it say? It gives you a megillah. What's the megillah? See, if it just says kosher, Bruce, you wouldn't buy it. You'd say, this is not fun enough. This is not a Hamishah bottle. What does it usually give you? Kosher. Lelo. Let's go. Tell me the Megillah. Lelo Chashash. Hevel. Tumas Masros and Shvi. Right? Tevel. Tumas and Masros, it usually doesn't say. It says Tevel, Orla, and Shvi. Tevel means it wasn't taken from grapes. That Trumas and Masros were not taken from. Orla means not from the first 3 years of the tree. And what Shviz? Okay. Now tell me in English what it says, Bruce. You to literally translate the words Lelo Chashash, Orla, Tevel, and Shviz. No, that's not what it says. It said very kosher. We'd end the lecture here. We'd say Rabbi Hananya. We'd say Kaddish. No.
No,
nope. What did it say? Just translate.
What's the first word?
Lelo chashash.
There's no suspicion.
No suspicion. No reason to suspect that this is from
Untithed
fruit.
Untithed fruit and first 3 years.
Fruit.
And Shemitah.
Very good.
In case you
any difference between the first two and the last one? Hevel is an Isser, correct? You can't eat from Peiro Tevel, meaning if you have fruits and vegetables, in this case grapes, that no Trumas and Masos are taken from, you're not allowed to eat from them. That's an Isser Achila. That is like eating pig. Great. There is no Chashash that this is Usser. That's very good. I'm comfortable. Number two, Orla. You're not allowed to eat from the first 3 years growing. I'm very happy. What should we eat?
No,
Shemitah. You have to treat it different. So why does it say the word chashash? It should say lelo chashash, tevel, in Orla. Einam mipeirot shvit. Meaning that if you make a avdolah on it and a little bit trips, you can throw it out. Doesn't have holiness. But why does it say the word chashash? Now you'd say, oh, they wanted to save space. Well, with the Megillah there, they can save space by saying kosher. The rabbi says kosher. I'm assuming that the rabbi means all the Davos Chelke Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, it wasn't made on Shabbos. I take care of Or Chaim over there. It wasn't taken from Orla Shre'eh, that's care of Yoridea, and Shvi'it also takes care of it, and other things. But they want to write the Megillah. So why do they write the Megillah the way it is?
Are you allowed to sell Paris Riz?
Are you allowed to sell Paris Riz in a certain way? Yes.
But the way that they're selling it, like you're buying a bottle of wine?
Yeah, but again,
it wouldn't be the same.
If you would say just kosher, fine, so you take care of Shvi'it, but why are they presenting it as Chami, not to make you think too hard? Very simply. Nowadays, in the community we live in, when something is holy, we stay away from it. Came Shemitah, according to the Ganza Oilam, what was the Mahadran of Shemitah? Buying from Goyim. Not buying Otsar Beitin, which is a way to sell Shemitah fruit, Kevin, and eating it the Kedusha. But rather, staying away from it. After all, should you stay away from Shemitah fruit? Can anyone quote me a pasuk in the Torah, not in a Favof in the Gemara somewhere, not in a Siman Katan in the Mishnah Brura, not in some new sefer that came out with the latest Chumras, a pasuk in the Torah that will say you are allowed to eat Shemitah fruit? Let me rephrase that. A pasuk in the Torah that says that you are obligated to eat Shemitah fruit. No? No one remembers. Oh, Isaiah, every year we read it. Kevin, why did the Chazal... We don't learn Tanakh. Allow me to quote Parshat Behar. We read it every year, and this is what it says. Everyone ready? Vehaita, and it shall be Shabbat Haaretz, the sabbatical of the land, meaning the fruit of the sabbatical of the land, the seven-year fruit, Lachem Le'ochla. It shall be for you to eat. Lecha, to you, that's you, Bruce, your family, whatever. La'abdecha, to your slave. Ula'amatecha, even to the woman slave, the main servant. Ve'leschircha, the workers that you hire. Ule'toshabecha, hagariminach. Perekot, hey, and sefer vayikra, pasuk vav. Here's the Ramban on this pasuk. It is a mitzvat asay, a positive commandment, to eat Shemitah fruit. He contemplates that maybe you have to make a bracha. Today when you ate an orange, you made a borei pri ha'eit. But on Shemitah, perhaps you would have to say, anu b'mitzvota v'tzivanu le'echol perot shvi'it. Comes to the wine bottle. Let's take this pasuk, throw it out of the Torah. No problem, we'll forget about it. Pretend it's not there. Lelo chashash Shemitah. We have now turned Shemitah from a positive commandment to eat it, to grasp it, to love it, to a chashash, to an iser. So what did we do? Let me just make it tangible for you. You know the Rambam? You heard of the Rambam? You know he wrote a book of mitzvot? Right? The book of commandments? So he divided it up beautifully. How did he divide it up? Asay and lota asay. Positive, negative. So what did you do? You take the wine bottle people. They have taken out the mitzvah of Shemitah from the asays, from the positive commandments. Whoop! Cut and paste. Into... negative commandment. Lo chashash Shemitah.
There's no risk you're taking Shemitah out of the shop.
Yes, there is. Of course,
so,
there is.
Lo chashash Shemitah.
Yeah, but again, you could say einam meperosh ve'ik. I'd be happy. But when the chashash, you are basically saying something holy.
Don't worry about taking out of the shop.
No, that's not what you're saying. Halavai, that's what they were saying. If that's what they were saying, they would have written, because they write a Megillah anyway. Einam miperot shvi'it lo na'asa bahem melacha b'shvi'it, or whatever you say. Fine. By the way, I'm just going to say in parentheses, if a rabbi with a reputation would write on my bottle kasher, that would be enough for me. I would assume that that means kasher from the beginning of Shulchan Aruch to the end of Shulchan Aruch. I don't need the Megillah. But if you're already writing the Megillah, and you present Shemitah as a chashash, you are basically saying, when something is holy, which means it has certain limitations to it, you stay away from it. You want another example? I'll give you another example. Let's put our fruits and vegetables aside. Let's go to something holier than fruits and vegetables. We are now in this shul. We are facing Yerushalayim. On a nice, beautiful, gorgeous day, sometimes you can even see Har Habayit. No? Have the major leaders of the Jewish people said about Har Habayit, the religious ones, the ones that fear God. Let me put it in my language. Lelo chashash Har Habayit. Don't worry about Har Habayit. Stay away from it. Listen, Har Habayit, you know, if you go to certain places on Har Habayit, it's an Issur Karet. Issur Karet? You don't have a Parah Adumah. You couldn't do that whole beautiful ceremony we're going to read about in this week's second Parsha, Parshat Parah. So you can't go there. So you demarcate those areas. There's still a lot of Har Habayit you can now go to by going to A, the mikveh, B, wearing non-leather shoes. Limitations. Now, how does the Rabbanut HaRashid from all generations deal with it? Stay away. There's Kedusha. There's an opportunity to get close to holiness. Stay away. So what happened? Year 2000. Anyone want to remind me? Came along our prime minister of then, he shall remain nameless, and goes to a place called Camp David. and sits there and says, the Jewish people, very strong connection to the Kotel. Oh, the western wall of Har Habayit, according to most. Not even the western wall of the Beit HaMikdash, the western wall of Dazar, the western wall of the mountain upon which the Beit HaMikdash was on. But on the other hand, we don't really have a connection to Har Habayit. Proof positive, the Jews go to Har Habayit? No. Do rabbis go to Har Habayit? No. So, the Har Habayit probably belongs to the Arabs, and the Kotel belongs to us. Although my dead body, will I give up the Kotel, but Har Habayit? This is Mishka Freilach. What's Har Habayit? When is the last time the Prime Minister woke up in the morning and heard there's a minion on Har Habayit? He heard there's a minion in Shul. He heard there's a minion at the Kotel. He never heard of a minion on Har Habayit. And we all know the repercussions of that statement of stay away from Kedusha. Shvi'it chashash. Stay away from it. Buy from the Goyim. Har Habayit, stay away from it. Hold it. Moshe Rabbeinu, face is glowing. Stay away. Says Rashi, that's not the way a Jew should act. He sees holiness, he should grasp it and hug it and say, how do I get holier to be part of it? I have a feeling in our community in the last few years that every time we have an opportunity of holiness, we stay away from it. Stay away from it. We stay away from Shemitah. We stay away from Har Habayit. And we're staying away from Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rashi comes and says, that's not the Jewish way. Moshe came down with a glow in his face. He went through and some sort of experience up in Shemayim. He didn't eat, he didn't drink. Let's ask him how he was. Let's get a glimpse of what it means to be with God. No, stay away. Too holy. I don't want the holiness, because if I have to become holy, that means maybe I won't be able to watch TV at night. So I don't want the... Better not. You know, it's like the wonderful Jews that say, I don't want to go to a Shir and Hilchot Shabbos. Why?
Better not to know.
You can have a holier Shabbos. As a matter of fact, I will contemplate that if you went to a shir on Kashrut, yeah, that you're being ultra, 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 ultra machmir nowadays in your home with regard to separating meat and milk. But I don't want any more holiness. Let me stay away from holiness. Holiness, this is better I stay where I am. Let's just close our eyes and forget about it. Holiness, this is too hard. Can you believe in a book called the Midrash Says? Have you heard of this book, the Midrash Says? Okay? If you look in the Midrash Says, not in the text, in the footnotes. Footnotes always reveal things that are not in the text. A makor, a source, a reference, a cross-reference, and comes up the following notion. To live in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be on a very holy level. And therefore, Torah Judaism is against mass aliyah to Israel. Now, do you understand the repercussions of that statement? Let me put it to you tangibly. A Jew sitting in New York says to his wife, we should go away for Pesach, because chas v'chalila, should we clean our home for Pesach and make Pesach? This is too hard. I mean, the Torah says you have to make Pesach. That was for very important people like the rabbi of the community. He dare not go away for Pesach. But us, no, we have to go away. Okay, where should we go? Maybe we should go to Israel, be in the land of Kedusha for the 7-8 days of Pesach. Says the husband, after reading the Midrash, says, this year on my year of Shemayim wasn't on a level. I didn't learn enough. I skipped a few daf yomis. You know, I skipped a few kolos. I slept in. I didn't do minyan here and there. Better I not go to Eretz Yisrael. You got to be on a holy level there. So where should we go? Let's go to Puerto Rico. It's easier. Is that the Jewish way? Comes this Rashi and says, you could read this pasuk beautiful. They were scared to come near Moshe. He was so holy. Rashi says, that's not the Jewish way. The Jewish way is, when there's holiness, you grasp it. You don't stay away from it. You grasp it. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because we are now within the 30 days before Pesach. I have a feeling, every year, we have a seven-day beautiful holiday, and Jews are scared of it. We're going to be in holiness for 7 days. We are going to be eating matzah. The other place all year that you have to usually eat matzah, outside of the Korban Todah, and the Rikikei Nazir, every single korban in the Beis HaMikdash was chametz free. So ultimately, your homes are like a Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. 7 days a year, elevated. Beautiful. More sanctity. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash chametz free, my home chametz free. outside of two korbanos in the Beit HaMikdash. The korban Todah and the Rikikei Nazir, everything's chametz free. Now my home is chametz free. There's almost no difference between my home and the Beit HaMikdash. How did Jews approach Pesach? Fear. Depression. How are we going to get there? Now chametz is pretty severe. Yes. I'm not kidding you. Chametz. On the other hand, I don't think God ever wanted us to go nuts and ballistic and go to psychologists, because for 7 days a year we have to make our home chametz free. There are ways to make your home chametz free without going nuts. If you want to hear my lecture on the internet, I have a lecture. Going crazy. Yeah, nuts, chas v'chalil, of kidney, of kidney. Gentlemen, we should grasp Kedusha. There's ways to deal with Kedusha. There's a way to go on Harabai. There's a way to eat Perot Shemitah. There's a way to come next to Moshe with his glowing face. And there's a way to come to Pesach saying we have an opportunity ahead of us, not a chashash of 7 days. This, gentlemen, is what I believe is the true Jewish way. Don't present opportunities of Kedusha, opportunities of sanctity, as a chashash. Adkan.